Do we have your permission to record the session?
Yes.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for taking the time today. We'll take as long as it needs to, short or long. And what I'm super interested in is what went through your mind the last time that you decided to go out to a restaurant during this particular historic period.
Oh, sorry, was that a question or?
Yeah, basically.
So I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
No problem. Kind of blanked out. It's okay. No problem. So you have made a decision about going to a restaurant during this pandemic. And I'd love to know, as you were making that decision, what was running through your mind?
Okay, so I guess usually whenever I decide to want to eat at a restaurant, for me, first things first, I think the most important thing for me is this something that I could make at home? Or because to me, I've noticed something with a lot of different restaurants where they have good food, but again, a lot of it is stuff that like I can make at home or that I usually make anyways.
Oh yeah.
So there's not much of an incentive for me to go out and try something. So like if a food is like from a specific geographical area that I don't normally cook with, or maybe a place is known for their cocktails, or like just something that's different from my everyday diet, then I'm more likely to go to a place.
Yeah. Okay. And boy, speaking of everyday diet, now that we're all cooped up. So go ahead.
Well, and like besides, I guess the food type, you know, also I try to make sure that there's outdoor seating or you know, I wouldn't also mind indoor seating, but like the tables had to be like fairly spaced out. And also to make sure that like the groups, like whatever group I hang out with is like in a really small group.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that too.
Yeah.
And even though it's less of a concern for me, but I still look into it, is the pricing. So how much would I expect to pay for food?
Uh-huh.
I've noticed that a lot of restaurants do, like, they add additional fees or they just make, or they just add the tip on to the receipts, which is fine.
Uh-huh. Right.
For me. But I think, you know, at least, like, I feel like, you know, I always have to read my receipts and make sure that, oh, I'm being charged the appropriate amount, because sometimes I get bills for things that are like, it's way more expensive than I would have imagined.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, I always like look into that as well. And, you know, I mean, there's always this thought like, where I'm trying to balance between, you know, okay, like how much can I spend for myself? And am I really being cheap by like, you know, maybe tipping only the regular 15 instead of the 18%, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So what was the last restaurant that you went to?
I think the last restaurant I went to was this place called, I'm trying to think, I think it was this place called Texas Roadhouse, which is, it's kind of like Outback Steakhouse, but I guess local.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And, it wasn't my choice. It was like someone else's choice in our group,
right.
But it was like a small group that went, you know, four people. So we were just like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Who, how did you communicate with the group about deciding to go out? What was all, how did it come up?
So it was actually because I had a friend come over and like visit me at my place. So I live alone, which means that, you know, if I ever get sick or anything, I can actually quarantine if I need to.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much a good thing. So, you know, I was like, okay, well, I'm kind of feeling like isolated because I live by myself. So, you know, I had a friend come over and then like she has like her friends, which eventually, you know, they became my friends through association.
Uh-huh.
And I guess throughout like the 5-day period she stayed, probably with her and the group, I maybe went out to 2 restaurants, and then the I think like that Texas Roadhouse place was like the last restaurant we went to before my friend left.
Okay. Oh, I get it. Okay. So your friend showed up because you were feeling isolated.
Well, she showed up because of some other event that she was going to in the DC area, but I offered my place to stay if she didn't want to like stay at a hotel.
Yeah. Yeah. What was the thinking that went into that offer? Just curious.
I did tell her, well, from pre-pandemic days, I did tell her beforehand that if she like wanted to stay over, you know, just like let me know when you're coming.
Uh-huh.
And she just took me up on it, and I was like, you know, I don't really mind. Like, you know, I cleaned my place before cleaned and sanitized my place before and after anyways, and you know, she got tested, so we're all good.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So you know what's whether the germs are coming in or the virus itself is
right
around. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So she stayed for 5 days, and obviously you probably cooked for some of that and wanted to go out for some of that. What was the thinking then?
So mostly, there were some days where we hung out together, but then some days she did her own thing. So then on those days, I just cooked for myself.
Right.
And then one time she made dinner as a way to repay me, and like we hung out and talked.
Nice.
And then, yeah.
Yeah. So, with respect to like being able to hang out and being able to talk, and like doing the dinner as a way to repay, what was running through your mind there? Was this, how was your reaction and that sort of thing?
I guess if you could say overall in terms of like COVID safety and stuff.
Yeah.
Honestly, I know there is like, you know, they always say like there is some risk in having like, you know, I guess the most riskiest thing to do would be like to eat inside somewhere enclosed, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
Honestly, you know, before my friend came, I had just been at my apartment, no visitors for like 2 weeks. Anyway,
right. Yeah.
Involuntary. I mean, not on purpose, but you know, just because I was there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like, you know, I honestly needed social interaction at this point.
Yeah.
And while like technically having a home cooked dinner could pose the same risks as being in a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
I would say it's better. I mean, at least in my opinion, I would say it's better for both social interaction and honestly for the price. Cause you know, I think anytime you make something, it's almost always going to be cheaper than buying it at a restaurant,
yeah,
pandemic or otherwise.
Right. Yeah. So true. If you know how to cook.
Yes. That too. That is also important.
Right. You had mentioned like, I usually make, or I can make most of the kinds of foods. Can you think back in the before times, memory of a restaurant that you picked that you wanted to go to and how you made that choice, like a particular restaurant, a particular night or any time of day, really, but a particular meal?
I think pre-pandemic, it was more or less like, what are the surrounding activities we would do beforehand? So for example, if I were to like go out and see like a show at the Kennedy Center or something, you know, with a significant other, you would try to like look at restaurants that are around there and then eat and then do the activity, or, you know, vice versa.
Okay. Yeah. So can you tell me about one of those events in particular so that we can maybe touch upon the thinking that was unique to that?
Sure. So I think, well, actually the moment that I was thinking about, we were going to go see a ballet at the, I forgot what it was called, at some theater in DC. And we were just looking at restaurants in the nearby area to eat at first before going to the show. So, I mean, that's what we did. And in terms of picking out the restaurant, it was like in Penn Quarter, so it's not as much of a variety in terms of the food type as it is other areas of DC. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say like Penn Quarter is more like a fancy type of area where it's like more high-end restaurants and like high-end, you know, new American, European-ish style restaurants.
Okay.
So, you know, but they're all, I mean, honestly, to me, like, it almost all tastes the same. So there's not much variety. But we picked one place that wasn't as pricey as the others and ate there and then went to our show.
Okay, cool. So you were looking at prices before you even chose the restaurant?
Yes.
Okay, cool. And how did you come to this conclusion that they all kind of taste the same? Where did that come from? Did you have an experience or something?
I've been to about, let's say, maybe two or three different restaurants in that same area. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of anything that differentiates the two or three experiences that I've had in terms of my taste.
Right. As opposed to some other experience where something did differentiate, can you tell me an example of one of those in the pre-pandemic days?
Well, this would be in another area of DC, which is probably maybe half a mile or a mile away, but usually more towards, I would say, like the Columbia Heights area of DC, like that green and yellow line part where near where Georgia Avenue is where you start to see more, like, I guess, ethnic food. So food from different ethnic groups.
Uh-huh.
And I guess you said one experience. So one experience that I had with food that was different was Filipino food in DC, actually.
Oh, cool. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm Filipino, so I'm really picky about this stuff.
Yeah. Awesome.
Sorry, I might talk about two different experiences, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, it's totally fine, yeah.
Okay, so I remember in DC, there was this really, pre-pandemic days, of course, there was this really hyped restaurant. I think it's overhyped, but it was this really hyped restaurant called Bad Saint, which is somewhere near, like in between Columbia Heights and Georgia Avenue.
Okay.
And it was this restaurant where it was only open for dinner. People would wait 2 hours. It was like one of those. Yeah. And it was
We have one of those kind.
Oh yeah. Like limited seating space and stuff. And, you know, since we showed up like 2 hours beforehand, yes, we literally waited 2 hours because I wanted to see what the hype was.
Right.
So we waited in line. So, well, we were like one of the very first groups in line. So we were able to get a table by the time it opened.
Mm-hmm.
And we went there, we ate the food. And I remember feeling like angry. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know it's like a really weird experience. I mean, I know that's kind of like an out there reaction, but to me, like, I grew up on food where, you know, for like maybe $7 or $8 per plate is like a really huge plate of rice and meat and vegetables,
right,
and like all this other stuff. But
yeah,
here I am paying $16 for like 4 dumplings and a plate of this like fried pork dish where the pork wasn't even cooked correctly.
Oh my God.
And like some other stuff to it. And the worst thing of it all is, you know, they try to advertise this whole experience as like family style.
Uh-huh.
And I'm kind of like, a family of 4 can't eat like 4 dumplings. Like, this is ridiculous. You know, who are you trying to sell this to?
Right.
Like, really, really, really poor families in the Philippines? Like, no.
Exactly. Well, they couldn't afford $16.
Yeah, exactly. It was just, and you know, I have a friend who's like a really picky eater, but you know, even she said she was like hungry after like having a meal there. And it was just, I think I was just kind of irritated because the food wasn't, I mean, the food was good, but it was just like very small and it was like at very extraordinary prices. Like, I felt like I was paying more for the vibe and for the brand rather than the actual food, which, you know, I get nowadays that's how restaurants stand out, but like your first point of business as a restaurant is the food.
It's the food. Hello.
please focus on that first before all this other stuff. You know, I don't mind eating in a hut if the food is good.
Right.
So that was like my first disappointing Filipino food experience in DC.
Yeah.
And then my second one was at another place, also in the same area, but a little different and less pretentious, I think.
Uh-huh.
It was this place called Purple Patch. And while the food there was still expensive, at least it was enough to fill me up. Like, I had an appetizer and a meal and then like some dessert.
Okay.
And, you know, it was honestly, it was like about the same price as whatever food I paid at the other restaurant, but I got more food.
And it was better?
I think taste-wise, it's still the same.
Huh, okay, yeah.
I mean,
but it was just...
It was just more, and it was just more filling. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And the purple is that the yam that is common in Filipino cooking?
Oh, the ube, yeah.
It's
common in Filipino food.
Yeah.
I would say, I guess, like, another bonus that, now that I think about it, with Purple Patch is that they don't try to stray away too differently from how food was made traditionally in the Philippines, which is really good.
Okay, yeah. So they're not messing with grandma's recipe kind of deal.
Right, like, it doesn't, I hate to use this word, but it doesn't feel as gentrified.
But you can totally use that word. Right?
Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah. So that's kind of pre-pandemic. Those were some memorable ones. And that's really good examples. You had mentioned, like, when you're picking these, that you're aware of what you can make at home. So how is it that you picked to go to Filipino restaurant, like especially Purple Patch, if you'd had that other experience and it's not something super different than what you make at home? I don't know.
Filipino food isn't, I mean, yes, there are Filipinos in this area, but it's not, I think there aren't as many Filipino people as, let's say, in Los Angeles or in Las Vegas. That's where you see more Filipino people in the U.S. So, you know, as a result, there aren't, I feel as if there aren't as many places where I can get authentic Filipino food. But, you know, I think the reason why specifically, you know, I went to Purple Patch, despite having bad experiences at Bad Saint, is because, I mean, honestly, you know, I can't really, as much as easy as it is to generalize a certain type of cuisine in a certain area, you know, I really wanted to give a place another shot. And I really wanted to try other places before saying, okay, well, you know, this is just going to be a fact for me.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, I did make like Filipino food at home, like, you know, before the pandemic, but I mean, I think, you know, once in a while, it's okay to try somebody else's interpretations of something you can make on your own.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And I mean, there were things that I had like that, honestly, I tried on my own and they just take forever to make at home, which is why I don't do them as often.
Exactly.
So like, you know, lumpia, for example, which is right. Like an egg roll. You know, that takes forever to make. And also like cassava cake, like where am I going to find the ingredients in an American grocery store for cassava cake?
Right. Like, yeah. Yeah. Better go find the specialized ingredients store.
Yeah. So I think, you know, there are some there are some foods I can make, and then some foods I'm just like, nope, I better go to a restaurant so that, you know, I don't waste my time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So with the pandemic coming around, how has your sort of, how did you, I want to sort of ask, how did you start? Was it, because all the restaurants were shut at first, what was it like cooking at home with this kind of background that you have with respect to, you know, loving to go out and try other people's versions of things? What was it like in the beginning of the pandemic before the restaurants were open? And then I want to find out, like, that first time you decided to go out to a restaurant.
So so you said the first time I decided to go out to a restaurant as they were opening?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I have to think about when that first time was. Okay. So actually, I think the first time I did go to, and like a restaurant as in like you're at the place, you're eating at the place, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay. So I think the first time I did that was actually, it was actually for a friend's birthday. So, you know, I mean, my friend wanted to do something. So we decided to, I actually picked out the place because, she wasn't picky, but it's this, Balkan place that I, like to go to, and it has like a really good deal on food. It was like $35 for, you know, unlimited tapas and then like really cheap drinks. So
awesome.
And it was close to where I live, so we all just went there.
Okay, cool. Had you been there before the pandemic or?
Yes.
Okay. So you kind of knew what to expect.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it like when you got there with your friends? What was actually, rather than explaining what happened, kind of what went through your head when you got there?
So originally we were supposed to do outdoor seating, but because it was supposed to rain, I kind of asked like if they were okay with doing inside, and they said yes. And we looked at the inside, and I mean, it was like really, I think the first thing that came to my mind was like, it was really empty. And I think the only thing that like kind of changed my mindset from pre-pandemic versus now is that you know, I myself try to keep my mask on when I'm at a table, like at the table, if I'm not eating or if I'm not eating or drinking anything. So, I guess that's the main difference. And then also the fact that there was just less people there in general.
Right. Right. Okay. How did you come up with that idea of leaving your mask on except when you're actually eating or drinking?
I guess comfort. Like, you know, the whole notion of, you know, the virus spreads most easily through how you breathe. Like, I just put it on just because, and, you know, honestly, unless I'm wearing it for like several hours at a time, it doesn't really bother me to do that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just do that as like I do that as a courtesy. And like, I also tell people around my table too, like, hey, you know, if you can, you should wear your mask at the table just cause.
Yeah. I know. I feel naked without one now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
I said, I feel the same.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Did people at the table then, like the birthday girl and everybody, were they also wearing their masks or what?
I think we did at first, but it's like, you know, as people start to like eat and talk and relax, you know, people were more lenient about that. And, but, you know, I think in some restaurants it varies, but like, you know, most of the time when people like try to, you know, leave to go to the bathroom or something, we just, and they try to leave without a mask, I just remind them like, hey, you know, make sure you put on your mask.
Right. And did people give you a look or was it all fine?
It was all fine.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. What else? So like you must have been there long enough to start to relax. What else did you think or notice or feel while you were there?
Besides the emptiness, I would just say, I mean, it just felt like a normal conversation with friends, honestly.
Okay.
There wasn't anything that was like too different.
Yeah. And probably kind of a relief after being isolated so long.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. You mentioned the emptiness a couple of times. What, was that, did that cause any emotional reaction or did that cause any thinking or anything?
I would say for me, the feelings are more bittersweet, maybe not for myself, but more towards the restaurant itself, because, you know, the owners were really nice when I went there before. I mean, they're still nice now, but, you know, like, especially before the pandemic, when I went there, you know, they were like very friendly and would always like stop at the table and ask about experiences and stuff. And, you know, it's now, I mean, it's kind of difficult. Well, I guess it would be more difficult for restaurant owners now just seeing that, you know, they have to like limit capacity just to meet like standard health guidelines and also to give customers like safety reassurances too. And, you know, it's, they want to keep going, but it's a struggle to see that their business isn't as thriving as it was before. And, you know, I feel like it's kind of unfair how something completely out of their control could like ruin their livelihood so much like this.
Yeah, definitely bittersweet.
And I know you didn't really ask this, but another thing that I've noticed about myself as a result of this realization is that sometimes I end up like buying more than what I normally would, pre-pandemic at a restaurant. Because, like, before at a restaurant, I would do maybe a meal and then either a drink or a dessert. But then now it's, like, sometimes I order, like, a full three course or, like, a meal and a drink. Or, like, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like I would spend a lot more as a result. For maybe two reasons. So, like, one reason is, you know, I'm never gonna want to make this at home, so I might as well, like, try something just because. And another reason is, you know, I want to help support small businesses.
Right. Yeah, try to keep them, give them, for the empty space, give them a few more dollars.
Right.
Yeah, that's awesome. So did you do that first time, or have you sort of done that since then?
I think it was more for the other restaurants. I think it was more for the other restaurants, although with this one I did. I think it's more for the other restaurants, just because at the other restaurants it's easier to spend a lot more.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I spent a lot more, that's also when I noticed the pandemic surcharges and included tip and everything that I mentioned earlier.
Okay, let's jump to one of those. What went through your mind when you first, like, walk me through the scenario of one of those places where that ended up happening and kind of what went through your mind?
Okay. So the first time that happened, it was at another friend's birthday. And I saw on my receipt, COVID surcharge, pandemic surcharge. I think it was COVID surcharge. That's what it was billed.
Okay.
And it was probably like $2 or $3.
Oh,
mm-hmm. And I think I ordered maybe like $50 worth of items.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't too bad, but that's when I was kind of like, huh.
Yeah.
And I have a friend who, like, you know, ordered more than me, but she had like $1.50 surcharge. And I'm like, what is this about? You know?
Yeah.
Like, is it because, you know, maybe my ingredients are like rarer to get or something, or, mm-hmm. you know,
it right.
was, I mean, I didn't really question it all that much. Cause it's like, I'm not going to dispute a bill over $3.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I mean, for me, my financial rule of thumb is, like, if it's less than $5, I don't worry about it.
Okay. And where did that rule come from, just out of curiosity? Total side trip, but...
Oh, no worries. It's mostly something to do with friends. Like, you know, whenever, like, I buy friends non-alcoholic drinks, like, mm-hmm. maybe, like, a soda or something when we go out, or like, you know, maybe we take turns like paying each other's bills at restaurants, but like they order food that's maybe like $2 or $3 more because of the different ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't, like, for me, I'm comfortable enough in my salary to where if I'm missing a few dollars, it's not that big of a deal. Like, you know, and especially since people in my generation are less likely to carry cash nowadays anyways.
Right.
It's just kind of like, it's $3. Like, I don't really care all that much. Like, you don't have to go to a bank. You know, I had a friend try to write me a check for like $4 once. And it's like,
right.
That's ridiculous. Like, don't do that. Don't waste your check.
Exactly. How much does that check cost you to write?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, utterly. Okay, that makes sense. And this idea of for furthering our way down the rabbit hole here, though, you order each other food or each other drinks or something. Where did that come from?
Oh, no, it's not that we order each other. It's just more like, okay, I'll pay this meal, you pay the next meal.
I see. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And that came from...
Just the fact that no one really likes to do math and figuring out, you know, who owes what and what is calculated. And, you know, I think sometimes it's a lot easier if one person just pays And honestly, I have this credit card where I get 3 times the amount of travel points for every restaurant dollar that I spend.
Oh, wow.
So okay. I usually am the one to offer myself to pay for everyone's meals, and then everyone just pays me back so that I can get points.
Okay. Okay. And when they pay you back, is that like you have to do math there or?
I mean, I keep a copy of, so what happens usually is like, I keep a copy of the receipt.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like, okay, I know this person ordered this. So like I, you know, I do some math as to like what each person ordered, and then, you know, I split the tax and tip evenly because I don't mm-hmm. feel like getting into the intricacies of the tax.
Right.
So I just assume like tax and tip are split evenly amongst all patrons. And then from there, okay,
yeah.
like this person owes me this much plus their share of tax and tip. And then, you know, multiply that, or I guess add that with the amount of people there.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And about how many people are in these birthday groups in general, just out of curiosity?
Oh, like why are birthday groups a thing?
Yeah, well, yeah, sure.
I just wanted to understand your question, that's all.
Yeah. I was actually like, how many people are you doing this with, and did this change with the pandemic?
Oh, so before I think I would use so before I think pre-pandemic, like I would more often spend time with groups of like larger people,
mm-hmm.
maybe like 6 people or 8 people,
right,
at some point. But then, you know, I think at this time I've only ever been in groups of 4 people at most.
Is that something you chose, or is that something that just happened, or
it's just something that happens?
Yeah. Okay.
And you know, when I eventually plan to celebrate my birthday myself, you know, it'll just be 4 people also.
Yeah.
That's like a good, I mean, for me, that's like a good amount of people to socialize with, and also, you know, less likely risk of COVID from, so.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So tell me about one of the other restaurants, like what, when you saw that fee, the $3 COVID fee, and you saw your friends was only $1.50, how did you look at your friends or catch your friends' amount? What?
Oh, like what was my reaction when I saw their COVID fee?
Yeah, and did you, why, how did you know to look? Did you talk to them about it, or?
Oh, so I looked at mine and I saw there was a COVID fee, and I said, hey, so-and-so, does yours have a COVID fee?
Uh-huh.
And then they're like, yeah, well, this is my COVID fee. And I'm like, why is your COVID fee less, even though you ordered more, even though your items that you spent were like, your bill was more than mine.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, we could have asked, but I didn't really, I mean, I just didn't occur, like I said, it didn't occur to me to look into it that much because it was like such a small amount. So
Yeah. Okay. What about some of the other things that you noticed? You said like the wanted going, not that first time with the first birthday, where the emphasis was more on lots of food for cheap and cheap drinks. With these other ones, were you involved in picking one of them out, and how did you pick it out?
So I was involved. So for the times that I have gone to restaurants, I was involved with picking almost every single one except for one.
Okay. Are you known in your circles as the one to pick the restaurant?
Yes. Begrudgingly, yes.
Awesome. How did you get that responsibility?
I feel like, well, I think this just goes back to like years ago when we would have like larger group hangouts and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone would have ideas for something, but I would be the one to make logistics and figure out timing with people mm-hmm. and like choose ideal and appropriate plans for everyone.
Right. Something that would work for everybody.
Yeah. And I've seemingly just inherited that responsibility ever since.
Excellent. Excellent friend to have. Right.
I mean, it would be nice if someone else, so like I have this problem too, where it's like, I would want someone else to do it,
uh-huh.
but then, you know, their level of planning things isn't as great as my level of planning things.
So right. It's kind
of like, I could punt off the responsibility, but then they're not going to do well in it as I would. So,
yeah,
you know, yeah. What call do I want to make there?
Yeah, may as well. Yeah. So with respect to the other restaurants that you've made the decisions about, can you tell me about one in particular where you, I don't know, you were going back and forth about it with respect to pandemic planning or with respect to supporting small businesses, like you said?
So I think with one of the more recent restaurants, I was supposed to meet up with a friend at a restaurant. I didn't know which one though, but I knew I had wanted to do DC just because it was more convenient for my friend because she lives in DC. And I also just wanted to get away from my immediate area, which uh-huh. is in Arlington.
Okay.
So I had to like, I literally went through maybe like, I would say 5 pages of like both Yelp and OpenTable
uh-huh.
Search results. And then I actually came across two, like my final two decisions. And restaurant A had like more food options, slightly cheaper food options. But, you know, it was just like a regular American style restaurant and it didn't have as many drink options.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend likes to drink, whereas I'm kind of indifferent.
Okay.
And then the other place is like a little further out, but it does have drink specials, but then the food is pricier, but then it's in a nicer location. So, you know, for these last two, I actually had my friend pick one because I was kind of like, you know, these are like two that I really like, you know, help me pick out which one. And then at the end of the day, we decided to go with restaurant A because of the more vast amount of food options.
Okay. And the thinking there, I mean, you said that that friend likes the drink specials.
Likes uh-huh. the drink specials, but I think what had happened, well, on the day that I was asking her, she was also helping a friend move. So maybe she's just more focused on like eating something.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Energy. Yeah.
Yeah. might not be able to stay upright if you had a nice drink.
Right.
Moving is not easy. Oh my gosh. Okay, cool. So when you got to that restaurant, you met your friend. Do you remember anything that was running through your mind or any emotional reactions you had?
Well, my friend almost went into the restaurant thinking I was in, and I was like, wait, no, no. Like she called me and I was like, I see you, turn around.
Uh-huh.
Right at the table. Cause I picked an outdoor table cause the weather was still nice.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. What are we going to do for the winter? Oh my God.
Exactly. Or like, I mean, I don't know. I think more restaurants should look into those like patio outdoor heaters.
Yeah, right.
Like I grew up in Las Vegas, and like mm-hmm. even it doesn't ever get as cold as it does on the East Coast. But like, you know, when it hits a nice 60 degrees, the patio heaters come out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people still enjoy outdoor eating when it is like 50 or 60 degrees outside.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. As long as it's not like a rainstorm or
right, whatever. Right, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I wonder what will happen. That would be interesting. So you were trying to keep her from going inside. Were you worried about her going in or?
Not, well, it was just more or less like, hey, try to find me. Not exactly from a safety perspective, uh-huh. even though that is important, but it's kind of like, we actually talked a little bit about our restaurant experiences, like later, like after having a meal, and she and I kind of both came to a conclusion that like, if we do decide to go out to a restaurant, like if the yes option is checked to go to a restaurant in the first place, we right. already accept the fact or accept the consequence if we get COVID, like right after that, because of the risk.
Right. Yeah.
So it's kind of like we both have the shared, I don't know if responsibility is the right word, but I guess like we're aware of the consequences when we do decide to pick a place to go out to eat.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like the risk of it or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's something you're willing to agree on.
Right.
Yeah. You're on the same wavelength, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. That's what I would say.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. When you were talking about it, how, like, what was that conversation like?
So I think we had an earlier conversation. So we were actually talking about something earlier where my sister was actually coming to visit me, but like she wanted me to, I guess, limit the amount of social interactions I've had or I would have with people.
Uh-huh.
Basically, you know, limit my socialization to just like getting stuff at a grocery store or something.
Right.
Like essentials, I guess. And I had a really hard time because, you know, my other friend was organizing a dinner and I wanted to go to that. Oh. But I also know that this friend, like, I wouldn't say she doesn't give a damn, but I feel like she travels, I feel like she traveled a lot more than what I would expect from someone in a pandemic. Uh-huh. I mean, this whole thing started in March. We're now in October, so that's like 7 months. Right. But in that 7 months, you know, she went to LA, she went to Chicago, she took a road trip to like Atlantic City with 8 people.
Wow.
I mean, it's way, way more traveling than, right. And those are just the incidences that I only know of.
Right.
Or that I only see because of like social media and stuff. So right. She's kind of like, you know, as much as I would like to hang out with this person, I also don't want to feel bad if I do hang out with them and then I hang out with my sister and then something happens to us.
Right.
Because I feel like the worst consequence of like going and then coming back and giving someone something to me was a lot worse than like FOMO. That right. not going to something, but, you know, having that one N-1 interaction, and then I just, you know, stay in my apartment.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Especially, I mean, this is different. You and your sister were agreeing to a different risk level than, like, you and your friend going to that one restaurant when your sister wasn't coming in town.
Yeah, I mean, my sister and I, we tried to come to an agreement on how much or how less social interaction, or I guess like the amount of appropriate social interactions we can have before we met up.
Got it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How far was she traveling to see you?
I mean, she was traveling from Las Vegas to see me.
Oh, so. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a bit of an investment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Totally. So, so you skipped that one invite, because it was too much of a risk and because your sister was coming. What about this one where your friend came and stayed 5 days with you? You did go out just a couple of times?
So my risk calculations behind that?
Yeah.
So for myself, I avoided anything. I mean, my friend did go to like large gatherings, but like she says they were all outside and I saw pictures. So I'm like, okay, you know, I trust you on that.
Okay.
And you know, everyone looked like they were wearing their masks. So it's like, fine, I trust you on that.
Mm-hmm.
For me personally though, like I could have gone out and, you know, met these other people too, but I was only comfortable socializing with her and like our other mutual friends.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the only interactions that I actually participated in.
Okay, right, because you did say she went out and did some of her own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that makes sense then. So when you did choose to go, that was with a smaller group or people that you knew, you could see what they
did. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And you mentioned social media and they look like they're outdoors and I could see that most people were wearing masks. That, that comes from photos, right?
Yeah. Photos or videos.
Oh yeah. 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 Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. So that kind of is a way of verifying or validating what they told you.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not going to lie. I think, you know, I feel like I was a little judgmental in the beginning on how, like, on how much certain people would go out,
uh-huh.
What activities people would certain people do when they go out. But at the end of the day, I think we're at a point now where, you know, this is just my personal belief. Please, like,
yeah, yeah.
Just keep this in mind.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think we're way past the point of depending on any particular organization to help us out as a collective.
Mm-hmm. So,
it is up to each and every one of us to determine what are the acceptable risks in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, you know, people that are close to us in our lives are understanding of those particular restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all we can do at this point is figure out what's safe for us and then just, you know, sticking to those boundaries and letting everyone know where you stand with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because people are going to, I mean, at the end of the day, people are going to do what they want. But then you also have the power to say, you know, hey, no way, you've been too risky. So,
right.
I'm a pass.
Yeah. All those trips that you took look wonderful. I'll just look at the videos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's a really good philosophy to have. No one else is going to make the decisions except yourself, and you can stick with them. You have that choice. Nice. With respect to going out to the restaurants, there was one other thing I wanted to ask you about, which was you had mentioned I decided to start buying more, like a 3-course meal or, you know, dessert and a drink. When you first did that, or when you most recently did that, can you tell me kind of how it occurred to you or what was going through your mind? Was it at a restaurant that you'd been to before? And the first one, you're like, the people were nice and they always asked us questions. And so how did it occur to you when you started doing that?
I think I noticed it became a pattern. So I'll tell you one I guess I'll tell you the one instance where I think it became a pattern, or I noticed it became a pattern. So I was out at a restaurant with friends, I think, last month, and this place was like a place known for their cocktails, and, you know, and because I don't normally make cocktails at home, I'm like, okay, well, you know, let me try some. So I ended up maybe ordering like 3 or 4 drinks, which I know is a lot, but I didn't drive. So, you know,
okay, right, yeah,
being responsible on that aspect. But I had like about 3 or 4 different drinks. And then on top of that, because I drank a lot, I also wanted to eat a lot. So I ended up eating like a main dish. And then I think I had like 2 smaller side dishes. And then I think for that, so I feel like for that specific instance, it was probably because I drank so much that I ended up ordering so much food.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of where it came.
Yeah, but I think that was also the time when I started noticing, oh, you know, I'm ordering more than just a meal now. I'm ordering, like, all these different things. And I think, after that particular experience, I think that's when it started to hit me that, you know, maybe there's this subconscious part of me that either wants to help out these businesses, or I'm just missing out on so many things that, you know, maybe I just want to try them all, because who knows when I'll try these things again.
Right. Yeah. That's an interesting thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for that particular experience, that was actually when I noticed that particular restaurant had a surcharge. Well, sorry, not a surcharge. They included the tip.
Okay, right.
So, like, I had, like, a shocking moment at first when I saw the numbers. But then when they said, oh, it's just tip is already included, I'm like, oh, okay, this is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It saves me the trouble of not dealing with math.
Right. Yeah. Was it the bill for the whole group, or was it just yours?
My portion.
Oh, your portion. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And did you, when you saw it, that like little bit of shock, how did you resolve it?
I mean, I just like read everything. I mean, I just try to like reread over and over again.
Okay.
Just to make sure that like the numbers looked correct. I didn't really do any calculating, but at least just like glancing over the numbers to make sure everything looked fine.
Yeah. Meaning like they hadn't accidentally put somebody else's order on yours or something?
Yes.
Okay.
Or like, you know, maybe what if I only wanted to do like 18 instead of 20%? I think I was able to like change the number a little bit. To include the tip.
Yeah.
To include like some tip, but maybe like not as much.
Right. Okay. What was your thinking on making the change?
I think it was just more like, okay, so like I understand that, you know, people, especially in like the restaurant and tourism industries, they're not getting paid as much because no one's going out as much.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also kind of like, since we're already in this tipping culture of the US where we decide what people should be tipped in the first place, you know, I think it's a little jarring to all of a sudden say, okay, well, we're just going to charge this from now on, you know, because it's like after like so many years of like going out to restaurants where you had to do math and you had to figure out like, okay, what's 15% of this or what's 18%? You know, now you're just like, oh, now you want to make it so that prices are added on top.
Right.
It's just, you know, like I get it, but it's also like a mindset change that was probably like, you know, it could have been eased up to more.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rather than just like, well, here it is. We're already taking that control away from you entirely. It's like, let me take back some of that decision-making power.
Right. Yeah. You know, yeah. And the waiter was like, he was like really nice, and really sweet and all of that. It was just like, you know, wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't him. Yeah. Okay, cool. And is this something that you've encountered in some of the other events, restaurant visits that you've done, or?
I think that was the only one where they purposefully added, like the tip to your bill. And, you know, there's other restaurants that give tip suggestions, like they calculate the tip for you. And
yeah,
but, well, restaurants have done that before the pandemic, so
yeah,
I'm not too concerned about that. But I think that is something that I probably will be more aware of if I ever, well, when I ever go out to restaurants again in the future.
Yeah. With the heat lamps.
Yeah, with heat lamps, preferably.
Exactly. Oh my God. I wonder if they're going to make like masks that are fleece or something for when it's really cold.
Honestly, I feel like I don't know how it is in the West Coast, but like in March, it was still like in the 60s.
Uh-huh.
In when like everything started for the pandemic. And it was just so much easier to wear a mask when it's like 60 degrees versus when it's like 80 or 100 degrees.
Totally.
Like I don't think I've been out when it was 100 degree weather with a mask on, but I can only imagine it's just like a pain.
Yeah,
because your like face is getting hot and you can barely breathe.
Right, exactly. Especially if there's no breeze or anything. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay, bring on winter. Oh my God. So is there any other restaurant event or like choosing indoor or outdoor seating that you can think of that you want to tell me about?
Oh, anything that I have plans for?
Yeah. If you've made decisions already or done some thinking about it.
So I'm actually taking my first plane trip since COVID. Next week to meet like some friends.
Uh-huh.
Well, to meet a friend, but going with a group of friends, hang out at her place in South Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And so, we might go to a restaurant, but I feel like because we're there more from the camaraderie rather than like local tourism.
Mm-hmm.
I think we might just stick to like, you know, making stuff indoors or like getting takeout or getting delivery.
Yeah. Do you get takeout now when you're living by yourself?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, okay.
But I probably only do it like every 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay. Because
sometimes I get tired of cooking.
Yeah.
Or if I want a craving of something specific, then, you know, like pizza or like maybe sushi, you know, if I want something specific, why not get it?
Yeah. Have you done takeout of sushi? I'm curious.
Oh yeah, I have.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. What went through your mind there? I mean, just because it's raw, I wondered, is there any extra thinking or?
Well, the takeout. So the times that I have gotten sushi, it's like I picked it up myself.
Okay.
I guess it's like less, you know, it's less people, I guess, that the sushi is in front of. Speaking.
Gotcha. Right.
Effective. But the person I get it from, they're behind the plexiglass. We both wear masks. They've always worn their gloves and hat.
Right.
So I don't really particularly, I mean, I don't really particularly find a risk in sushi other than, mm-hmm. you know, just the fact that it's raw fish, but that's just what happens with sushi.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've had a craving for sushi recently and I'm like, Do I want to do it? I don't know.
I mean, if you know a place that does takeout, yeah. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, cool. So when you're going to South Carolina, then this idea of like maybe just doing takeout or cooking your own meals, is that something you're already talking about with your friends?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about food options. We talked a little bit about like food options and what we're going to do for food.
Were you?
And, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, were you the responsible person to make the decision again?
No, thankfully with this group of friends, it's more like I have someone who's thankfully, I think, is on my level in terms of planning. not to sound condescending, but I mean, you know, I'm very particular with how things are planned, but the fact that her and I kind of shared the same, I guess you could say, wavelength or the same mentality when it comes to making plans, it's like, okay, you know, I can trust you on this.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Okay.
So when I trust her judgment when it comes to the food. And I think there will be times like, you know, early in the morning, like breakfast or lunch, that we would just stay home and cook. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. A little bit easier logistically and.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, cool. Oh my gosh, how exciting. You're going to get to take your first trip in a while.
I know. It's actually, I mean, since you kind of mentioned like, you know, are you worried about this or that? That's mm-hmm. probably the first thing kind of like worried about in a, out of everything is what are plane rides going to be like during this time?
Yeah. What went through your mind making that decision?
I think it's more like, I think it's only scary because I haven't tried flying during a global pandemic before. And it's kind of like the science is still very like, I wouldn't say new, but like, you know, sometimes there are like studies, you know, funded by airlines where they say, oh, plane travel's not that bad.
Right.
But then you're kind of like, wait, but your airline company, like there's some kind of bias behind this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think my only initial trepidation is because, you know, of the seating, like how empty are these planes going to be? Because, you know, pre-pandemic, I've never been on a plane where there were empty seats.
Right.
Unless it was like unless, you know, I got on a plane, but like half the people for this flight are from a previous flight that, you know, missed the connection. So.
Yeah. It was meant to be full. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. And mm-hmm. More often than not, you know, my plane rides pre-pandemic have always like had airlines asking for volunteers to be bumped to the next flight. But then mm-hmm. I'm like, no, I have things to do.
Right. I have this carefully planned. You don't know me. I'm a planner.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this one will be interesting. I mean, how did that feel to make that decision to go?
Honestly, I love traveling. I usually travel maybe, if I could guess, maybe like at least 3 or 5 times a year.
Uh-huh.
With half of those being international trips.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it feels a lot different. It's kind of funny because I think from, let's say, maybe September of last year to January of this year, you know, I traveled a lot. That's where most of my flights took place last year, was in that 5-month time period.
Right.
And then after my last flight at the end of January, I was like, I want to take a break. And uh-huh. then this whole thing comes up. And I'm like, wait, that's not the break I wanted.
I wanted to choose.
It's like, yeah, you know, it's like, I don't want a global pandemic to be the reason why I can't fly out.
Oh God. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, that happened and I haven't taken a flight since January. So this will be my first time in a while. And, like I said, and I think as I mentioned earlier, you know, at this point, we're just making whatever choices and accepting whatever risks come that feel most comfortable to us, mm-hmm. or that feel like it. We make decisions to take on risks that make the most sense to take. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I honestly think that when people make a lot of decisions to leave their house, it's a matter of COVID versus mental health. Like, do I worry about COVID or do I worry about my mental health?
Right.
And yeah. I think where we are now, I guess this would be month 7, you know, a lot of people are like, okay, you know, maybe COVID isn't as bad for me, but my mental health is struggling. So I want to focus on that now.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's where I'm at this point, is I want to focus on my mental health. Yes, I am doing something that's not essential, like traveling to meet up with friends, but it's like, you know, this is for like my mental health. And, you know, for me, what matters on this specific trip is spending time with friends. And, you know, even if I'm just sitting in their house, just like watching TV or just like talking with them over like boxed wine or something.
Uh-huh.
Maybe not boxed wine, because that's kind of maybe something a little classier. But anyway, you know, my point is,
yeah,
I want to make decisions that keep me safe, but also keep me and others safe, but also, you know, maximize gains on mental health. And I think this trip specifically, with choices that we make when it comes to different activities, will be helpful for me. So
yeah, especially this time of year. Yeah, there's all sorts of things happening. You're still thinking about mental health. You're still thinking about risk, just like all the other events you told me about. And in this case, hey, there is something else that is weighing on this and pushing the balances toward being social with friends in person. So that's important.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So... okay, well, believe it or not, we've chatted for a while, and this is excellent to get to know you. Is there anything else that you thought we would be chatting about that you want to bring up?
I had something, but I'm trying to figure out the words for that something.
Uh-huh.
So this whole recording and everything, this is just going to be used for teaching a class on how to do like research, right? And it's,
yeah.
And it might be used for potential, like, because I think when I talked to Andrew, he was telling me about how he wants to know like how restaurants are affected by the pandemic. And he also wanted to know how patrons are affected by the pandemic too, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that he's interested in doing is understanding how patrons are affected and what thinking is, so that restaurants can communicate more clearly. So like that shock that you had with the tip being added in already, it's like, well, if that was communicated, then you wouldn't have felt that necessarily.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's how he's going to use the data, and I won't use all of the entire recording, certainly not anything that would feel uncomfortable.
Of course. I think he also mentioned that, they would be able to use my quotes, but they're not going to, put my name on it or anything, right?
Correct, yeah. No names associated at all. Okay. And we could, if you wanted, one of the things we do is we'll even protect the names of the restaurants if you want. So go ahead and just, you didn't tell me the names of half the restaurants, but you did of some of them. And I'm like, if you don't want me to mention Bad Saint, then I could, replace that with restaurant.
I guess with restaurant names, it's fine. It's okay. More or less my name attached to anything.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. And that's actually one of the things that as a researcher, we never attach people's names. So we will keep that completely private. And if at any point in the future you're like, nah, I don't know, I said some things there that maybe I don't want people listening to, just let me know, or let Andrew know and he'll let you know.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's always still within your control. And we delete the recordings. Generally what we do is we have a transcript made and delete the recordings within a certain period of time. Ordinarily the restaurants, they will not see the transcript. It's too much for them to take in. What they'll see is some concepts that various people said, not associated with their name, but maybe a little quote, but it will be re-summarized as a concept. So for example, the one you saw, you were shocked by the tip being added in, it would be summarized as feel shocked when I saw this, the amount, the total, the bill total, and which made me, double check these things. And that's how we would summarize it.
Is demographic information shared or not really?
No. Yeah. I actually, one of the things that I teach people is that demographics are really just vehicles for assumptions. And that I would rather people understand people's inner thinking and guiding principles so that we can look at those instead of the demographics. But that's what I'm trying to do, to try to, we apply demographics when I'm trying to get more people involved that have previously been ignored or their voices have been sort of squashed by systemic bias and things. So we do that when we're looking for participants, but with respect to the kind of information that we gather and the concepts that we pass along, that's not associated with demographics unless the demographics have caused the thinking.
Okay.
Yeah. So I did a study, now we're getting into stuff we don't have to talk about, but I did a study where people were being discriminated against because they were female. And that's a demographic that causes thinking, that causes guiding principles. And so those were captured.
Yeah, that's, I appreciate that, because that's very important to be aware of.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh my God, I know. It feels like we're finally getting a chance to get people aware of it.
Yeah, so. People should have been aware of this sooner, but yeah. It's better late than never.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure our great-grandmothers were having the same conversations too. We'll keep trying.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, well, thank you so much, Marianne, for your time today or this evening.
Yeah, no problem. This was I guess I did most of the talking, but this was a very good conversation.
Yay! Cool. Yeah, it's kind of fun. Have a chance to sort of think about what your thinking is and do that. that sort of conversation. So.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I hope you have a good trip. I hope you have fun. I hope it really does help with mental health.
Yeah. Well, I hope so too.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to turn off the recording.